Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us love our enemies and teach us to pray for those that persecute us. We pray for those that are currently suffering persecution in different parts of the world. Help us in times of difficulty and in times of distress. Help those who are suffering from mental health associated with being bullied and those that have been judged. Help us deal with ourselves when we feel the need to bully or when we are unkind to others. Forgive us and heal us and help us forgive others. Above all, send us your peace so that we can share your love and peace in and with this world. Amen. Now, I don't mean anything personal in my interpretation of the passages today, because I know that you're very kind, gentle, good folk at the 8 o'clock. But I want to talk a little bit about bullies and judgment and condemnation, because that's the themes of the gospel and to a certain extent of the epistle. And I've got three questions I think arise from this gospel, which is why do some people feel the need to bully and persecute others? Second question is, what's the answer to when you've been the victim of judgment or intimidation? And why do people feel the need to condemn one another? I was in a car with a friend going to Southwark Recycling, and he had LBC News on. And after an hour of listening to LBC, I felt quite depressed, because the underlying tenor of the people doing the chat was that of condemnation. It was about really the boat people and why they shouldn't be here. And then it moved on to sort of the criminal justice system and why people in prison shouldn't be punished. And then it became, the conversation led to questions about capital punishment and bringing back the death sentence. And the whole thing was condemnation, judgment, and to a certain extent, sort of bullying. And so I thought about this, and I thought, you know, life is hard enough as it is without this kind of these kind of three aspects. And I think all of us, if we were honest, have either been the victim of one of those three things, or we might have been involved in metering it out to others. Paul's answer is that this creation, this world that we live in is incomplete, it's broken, and the best is yet to come. I mean, that is St. Paul all over. He talks about running the race and winning the crown and so on, and the thorn in his flesh. People call such absurdism. It's like a Voltaire type of acceptance, you know, that life is tough. You kind of laugh, dig deep and get on with it. Now, some of us might be able to cope with that. Life is tough and you have to tough it out. You know, like St. Paul, you live with the thorn in the flesh. Understand that others are going to be cruel to one another and perhaps to you, and that we're all part of it. But I, working in schools and working in my last job, I saw the effects of bullying on young lives. And it's catastrophic. Working in the church for 30 years, being ordained for over 25 now, I've seen every type of bullying, intimidation, judgment, and rejection. And I still see it going on. Part of our training was offered, they said, sticks and stones break bones, but never names will never hurt. But names and shaming really hurt. In some ways, for some young people, particularly that I dealt with, it hurts more than any physical pain. I mean, self-harm behaviours is because physical pain is easier to endure than emotional pain. So that's a lie. Name-calling, rejection, whether it's social media or just you know, FOMO, fear of missing out, all that sort of thing, is a terrible crime against a human being. Very cruel and very unfair, and it leads to all sorts of difficult behaviours later on. I've worked in schools for 40 years. Savage bullying. I've seen some savage bullying, and that's not just between children, that's staff. And I would say the government bully the department, and the departments bully the local authorities, and the local authorities bully the school leadership, and the school leadership bully the staff room. And then that moves into the classroom, and then the children bully each other. I'm seeing this in my own son's school. The pressure for success is so great that the children rival each other and compete with each other, and it's big problems. My sons often come home in tears, and I have to say to them, you know, dig deep, be tough. Whatever you do, don't respond with like. You know, and it's good lessons for them, but it shouldn't be like that. And this kind of kick the cat bullying is kind of normalised. I'm sure some of you must have seen it in your own institutions. Perhaps you've seen it in experience in your own lives. Perhaps you've been part of it yourself. It's easy to get drawn into such things. I did the NPQH, National Professional Qualification for Headship, and decided not to proceed because it was a bully's charter, frankly. And some of the academy chains should be ashamed of themselves in the way they treat their staff. But that's my experience in my particular field. And the churches are much different. In my 30 years in ordained ministry, I've seen every kind of bullying, judgment, spite. I've seen clergy break down because of the spiritual rejection or the judgment they've experienced. I've seen people lose their faith, never return to church, particularly in the evangelical wing, you know, where people gang up and they exclude, passive or otherwise. You know, it's really shameful and completely at the odds of the teaching of Jesus Christ. And bullying in the church is a contributing factor to people's loss of faith and people leaving the church, particularly the young. You know, some churches, you should put a sign outside saying, a health warning sort of thing, likely to be bullied here, keep away or enter at your own risk. We have to be careful that we don't create in-groups and out-groups and special groups and, you know, and judge people. We don't know what goes on in people's hearts and minds. So what do we do about it? Well, we can become thick-skinned. We can develop a sort of protective outer shell. You can ignore bullies. There was a poster at the Bethlehem in the therapy room. It said, know who your real friends are. You know, you don't have to hang out with people that treat you badly. And don't be one of those to others. Stay away from those that judge. Shake the dust off your feet and stay away. That's what Jesus teaches. You know, you can enter the fray and the reality that people will be cruel and unkind, but try not to be that person yourself. So what do we advise the victim? What do we say to those that have experienced judgment? How can the Bible teach and help those that have been permanently damaged by rejection and bullying? Well, Jesus teaches us to forgive. He says it in our gospel, forgive and pray for those that grieve us. He goes one step further, in fact. He said, pray for your enemies and for those that persecute you. That's a hard thing to do. You pray for people that are unkind to you. You know, bless that person. You know, it's a difficult one to actually do. What else does Jesus teach us? Well, he teaches us not to judge. He says there's only one judge, and who is the judge? It's God the Father. He's the one who judges, and he's a merciful, merciful, loving Father. And it says that in the gospel. It begins with that. The measure you give, Jesus says, is the one that you shall receive. You know, those people on that radio show, they were tight-lipped and bitter, I felt, and I'm judging them. But the point is that I think that if you live in that world, it eventually consumes you. You are what you give. You are the soil that you plant yourself in. Jesus says the measure you give is the measure that you shall receive. But we also have to accept that, you know, most of our behaviours are not, you know, we're not really in control of. I think it's Schopenhauer says that our behaviours are like, you know, our rational behaviours like the thin crust on a boiling planet. And I think he's probably steering the right way. The motives and desires of a lot of what we do and think come from very deep within us and are often irrational and powerful. And so the Holy Spirit needs to work in those places, those areas that we cannot see or know about. I have got a paragraph here, but I'm not going to read it out. It's about some of the work from when I was working in mental health with young people. But, you know, there's lots of reasons why people bully. Behavioural psychologists describe the needs are very pathological and quite deep within us. And, you know, a cornered human being is a dangerous animal. There's plenty of those people around. So I think bullies and victims of bullying, victims of judgment, those who have been rejected, they need spiritual healing because these behaviours are so deep in our psyche and in our interior beings. And a church should be a safe place for that to happen. I think one of the prevenient, invisible actions of the Holy Communion is the inner healing of the person. When you come up for Holy Communion, submit yourself for that power to work through you. And Jesus is quite clear throughout his gospel, the only antidote for hatred is forgiveness, acceptance, and love. How can we do that in practical terms? Well, celebrate when someone has done something better than you. Be glad and grateful for those that want to achieve. Help them do so. Don't knock them back, build them up. Set your challenges against tasks rather than people. An example is Jim Clark. He always raced the track, not the other drivers. And he always won, often yards ahead. You know, businesses like to compete one person against another. It improves performance. But in the end, it just sets people against each other. You know, if you set people's performance against a task, like Jim Clark, you're always going to win in the end. Seek peace and avoid cruel, spiteful comments and words. You know, it might sound clever at the time and it might make yourself feel really good, but St. Paul says to us, speak to one another in songs and with tongues of joy, building up the body of Christ. Jesus says in the end in his gospel, do not fear those that bully because their lies will be proclaimed from the rooftops. Matthew 26 is a good passage, and I'm going to read it to you before I finish. Do not be afraid, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. For what is spoken in the dark will be spoken in daylight. What is whispered will be proclaimed from the rooftops. Do not be afraid of those that can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. So do not be afraid. You are worth many, many, much more, than many sparrows. And Jesus reminds us of his Father's generous rewards in our gospel. He says, verse 38... Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Amen.